Join me, Dr. Panico, with Cindy Lauper and Chef Michelle Bernstein to talk about plaque psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis, the potential connection and risk of developing permanent joint damage.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for TB. Serious allergic reactions, severe skin reactions that look like eczema, and an increased risk of infections, some fatal, have occurred. It may lower your ability to fight infections, so tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if IBD symptoms develop or worsen. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or cosentyx.com/Cindy.
Hello and welcome to the 100 Year Real Estate Investor Show. My name is Gino Barbaro and this show is dedicated to personal financial engineering. Today's guest is one of our co-founders of the 100 Year Real Estate Investor, Rick Sapio. As the CEO of 30 plus years, Rick learned that business growth and success are accelerated when a few key principles are applied. As an owner of 1,100 year whole life policies, he learned to leverage them in many investments, including a potential alternative to college. Welcome back to the show, Mr. Rick Sapio.
Hey, Gino, thanks for having me.
Where do we start, Rick? I mean, I get on calls with you every week. Every time I jump on calls, I learn something new all the time. And you're sharing something about whole life with me that it really, truly is an asset. Going over all the benefits, reading a book. Let's start there. What did you learn about whole life that you'd like to share with everybody?
Yeah. So, you know, you hear the word insurance and people go, oh, but the reason is they don't understand it and they don't know what whole life is. Whole life has so many benefits, which we probably don't have time to talk about all of them. But one of them is, in addition to all the tax-free growth, and when you take the money out, it's tax-free. And when you borrow the money against it, it's tax-free. You have the opportunity when you're old to mitigate one of the risks that people often think about, which is this. I don't want all that money going to my heirs or my estate. So what you can do, you're 80 years old, you got $15 million in life insurance saved up. The money's going to go to your heirs when you die. Just sell the policy to somebody for $10 million bucks and it goes to somebody else. But you can actually turn your policy into cash while you're living. I'm talking about the death benefit side. You already have the cash value side, which is valuable enough. But the cash, but in addition to the cash value, you also have the death benefit. And death benefit means what is the payment that your estate is going to get after you die? Well, guess what? You could get that payment while you're still alive. And I never thought about it from that perspective.
Mm-hmm. You talked about college. We're going to discuss college today. And we're not going to talk about the merits or the benefits of going to college versus not going to college. Let's talk about a perspective. If you're on the fence and should I send my kids to school or should I not send my kids to school, how are you leveraging these policies in for kids to start entrepreneurial ventures or businesses with whole life policies?
Yeah, so I recently wrote a book about this called The 100 Year Education, believe it or not. And my co-author, Teresa Kuhn, who's also a co-founder of the 100 Year Real Estate Investor, had the opportunity to take the $250,000 that they had saved up for him in a whole life policy and basically say to their son, listen, we've got this money. You can go to college. And he got accepted to a really good school. He went to an elite high school in Austin. And basically he said, you know, I want to be an entrepreneur. And I had met him when he was probably 11. At this time, he was probably 16 or 17. I can't remember. And the parents gave him an option and said, look, you could take the money out of the policy as a loan, by the way, because if you take it out as a loan, many of us know it keeps growing at the same rate, tax-free, as if you never took any money out. So you're taking a loan against an asset that keeps going up in value, no different than you would be taking a loan against a home or an apartment complex, just to put it in perspective. And so this kid, his name is Keating, is now 26 as of this recording, and he never spent one day in a college classroom, but he had the option to take classes at night if he wanted to. By the way, professors who teach at night are actually real people with real jobs teaching accounting and whatever else, as opposed to lifelong tenured servants of the government who do it full time. But I think you know where I stand on that issue. But what they did, which is really unique, they still have the policy. He took the money and he took it as a loan, and he started a heating and AC business in Austin, Texas, as a 20-year-old. So now 6 years later, he's got 30 employees. I think they just crossed 2 million in revenue. The kid is thriving. Wow. And he said, I don't miss college for a minute. All my friends who are my age, they're either drug addicts or they're working for their family and they hate their life, or they're sex addicts. And I'm a thriving entrepreneur. I love my life. I love my employees. I love my business. And think about the average 26-year-old today, not your kids or my kids, but the average, a lot of them are lost. I read an article yesterday about the lost generation, because they've spent the last 20 years of their life staring at screens. They don't really know how to, you know, live a purposeful life. They don't know how to communicate. They don't know how to be social. They don't know how to be present. They don't know how to have attention. So anyway, this kid, because of the fact that he didn't go to the indoctrination camps, but instead he started a business, he's thriving.
So I'm going to counter Rick's thought process there, because I don't think they're all indoctrination camps. I think some of them are useful. And for me, I sent my daughter to college and it was a great experience. We homeschool our kids. So for me, I wanted her to get out in the real world. I wanted her to get her teeth kicked in a little bit and see how it really is out there. And when she went for video and production. And I didn't say anything, Rick. I said, oh gosh, please God, help me out here. And after a year, she's like, Dad, I didn't want to tell you this, but I really want to change. I don't like Hollywood. I don't like these, you know, this whole genre, this watching these movies and these videos. Can I go into philosophy and religion? I said, thank God. He answered my message, my prayers. And she ended up graduating with that degree. Now she graduated with no debt. She had 4 years of great experience. She had formation. So she was with a Catholic group. And now she's a missionary, a Catholic missionary, and she's going to continue on her second year of that. So for me and for her, college was the right thing, because that was her formative years, but she was with the right people and she really found herself. Now, my son is going to become a junior in college. He's taking business courses, but at the same token as well, he was homeschooled. I wanted him to have some urgency, because when you're homeschooled and you're sitting at home, oh, it's time to go to school. You don't have that urgency. You can get it done. But with college, you've got classes. You need to go to lectures. You need to turn in papers. You need to be really diligent and disciplined. And that's what my kids have learned in college without being indoctrinated, because they've got a really great foundation at home. They've got a base. They've learned it. They've learned their faith as well. And I think that he's learning business classes. He's taking classes on cash flow, Excel spreadsheets, economics, all those classes that I want him to take. And now that he's graduating, he's also gone on and, you know, for the summertime, he went to work as a missionary as well up in Tiger, Georgia. He loves it. So after he graduates, he wants to do that for a year as well. So college doesn't have to be a negative situation for a lot of people. I just think a lot of parents, and I'm going to challenge your parents out there, don't abdicate your responsibility once your child turns 18. Continue to be a part of their lives and continue to understand what they're watching and what they're doing. Now, if you haven't up to this point, you really need to get involved with your kids, because we can't just blame the TV screens and the computer screens and the iPads and all that. You need to be a participant in their lives, and you need to really be, I think, the role model for your children. And if you do that, you're going to have a much higher success rate. Listen, I hope my kids end up really well. I've done my best. I've tried my best. That's what I can say about that. I don't want to blanket colleges the worst thing in the world, but there's a lot of people out there that shouldn't be going to college, should go out and be getting a trade, like Keating, who did an amazing job. Now, Rick, let's just talk about his situation now, because he's borrowed money from the policy. He's probably paid that money back. The policy's probably got all his cash value replenished. And like you said, he bought it at such a young age, and he's got a death benefit locked in that if something does happen to him, he'll have his death benefit forever. Can you just talk about that process where, wow, you've created an asset at such a young age, and now he's got two assets. He's got a business and the policy itself.
Yeah, you touched on a lot of benefits of whole life insurance. So number one, for the people that don't get whole life, I believe only 1 out of 10 policies that exist are whole life insurance policies from a mutually owned insurance company. What does that mean? Mm. It means that you get dividends, because when you're mutually owned, you're part owner of the business. Not too many policies pay dividends. Okay, that's number one. Great number point. Two, this is something that's really unique. I don't have a single other investment other than my whole life insurance that cannot go down in value. It's impossible to go down. And people, it's ironic that people don't realize how much risk they're taking inside their 401k, inside real estate REITs that they own, inside of any private company that they own. Because my hit rate as a venture capital investor is 1 out of 2 goes to zero. Well, the good news about this policy can never go down, and all of its growth is tax-free or tax-deferred. For the most part, it's tax-free. So the reality here is people don't think logically about that. They think that, you know, they think about nirvana, that everything they invest in is going to go up in value. Well, that's just not the case. So I am a massive advocate of putting half your liquid net worth into this product because, like you just pointed out, you can put it into this product and borrow against it and still have the product go up in value, as I mentioned earlier with my example of real estate. So you're not really paying that much for it because you can take all your money back out and go do the other stuff you have. And now, as you pointed out, you have a dual asset.
I want to just tell the listeners to go to the channel, the 100 Year Real Estate Investor. We did a show with Kristen, one of our team members, on college and why are you using a 529 to fund for college? Let's say your son is Keating and all of a sudden he decides not to go to college. Well, what do you do with that money in a 529? You're going to get taxed on that money. It's there. You don't have control of it. Putting money into that whole life policy and letting that policy grow. And with the optionality that if your son or daughter doesn't go to college, well, that policy is still there. You still have the asset. Kristen gave some amazing tips on that as far as financial aid. It doesn't go against financial aid in that money inside the whole life policy. Go back and listen to that show there. Now, Rick, are you using the policies and buying policies for your children as well?
Yes. I have not borrowed against those, nor have my kids, but my kids are younger than yours. I have been, actually, we do have some overlap. I've got an 8-year-old, 10-year-old, 12, and 14. And my goal with them is we don't like to give our kids anything. So they're going to be allowed to borrow against the policy, but they have to put that money back. So, you know, when it comes to college, for example, my attitude is I'd rather set them up in a business, not financially, but spiritually and emotionally and, you know, from the perspective of coaching. Because I think it's important for everyone to have their own company. So I started my holding company over about 30 years ago now. And so I'm going to help them set up a company, a holding company that they can make all their investments through. And they're going to use their own money that they've earned their whole life. So I tell my kids, is it better if I teach you how to fish or give you a fish? So they've got that one wired in their brains that mommy and daddy aren't going to give us anything. We have to earn it. Now, we are going to give them opportunity and we are going to give them counsel and mentorship, but we just don't believe in inheritances for kids. And for example, paying for college as an example. Now, I know you did, but it's just, we're all different. So to answer your question, they all have policies. They all have the option when they're 18 to borrow against their policy, just like Keating did.
Let me ask you a question, Rick. I know you and I can say this. You're a stubborn Italian, just like me. We got last name vowels, you know, Sapio, Barbaro. What was holding you back from buying whole life? And I would say from, I can't even say investing, but buying an asset like whole life. When you saw it years and years ago, the Mama Luke that you are, you were probably like, I'm not doing this. But what was the turning point that you finally said, this is amazing, and you keep coming upon more and more revelations?
I think the biggest thing is that working in a Wall Street career for a long time is they have done their best to vilify insurance. It's very similar to, I had a lot of medical issues and then I discovered eating naturally and the whole chiropractic industry and all of that. And it's very, very similar. There's a lot of incredible chiropractors who teach natural healing and who are all about natural foods and all the things that, you know, our bodies are meant to, you know, have inside of them. And also it's a way to treat, you know, long-term disease and whatnot. So the way the chiropractic industry looks at medicine is very similar to the way Wall Street looks at the whole life insurance industry. And the whole life insurance industry it's been around since before the Civil War. They've never missed the big companies, the A-rated ones, have never missed a payment, never missed a dividend, never. The companies I use have been paying dividends for more than 100 years without missing a quarterly dividend ever. like 100% of the time, mm-hmm. through famines and wars and you know, crazy government scandals and blah blah blah. So what woke me up is I started seeing the analogy between the medical world and the natural health world, let's call it. And there's a lot of similarities. We have to vilify it. And so Wall Street, which tends to charge money every year and charge taxes on no matter what product you're buying, for the most part, you're paying taxes, unless it's municipal bonds. You know, you think about a product like Whole Life, and it's the exact opposite. It's yours forever. It's estate protected. For the most part, you can't get sued. It doesn't show up as an asset when you're trying to get financial aid, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So what woke me up was the constant drumbeat of, I would say, the vilification of it from Wall Street. I said, wait a minute, why are they vilifying this? And the more they vilified it, the more I looked under the hood until 2006. Mm-hmm. I think I was about 44. I'm 59 now. I might not be doing my math right. I bought my first policy, and then my second, then my third, and I just kept adding on. And I'm actually in the middle of a really big policy. My wife's life right now. And so I'm going to continue to buy. Nelson Nash, who wrote the book Become Your Own Banker, I think when he died recently, he had over 80 policies because they start to feed on themselves and you can just create this massive wealth engine.
Mm-hmm. So he wants to leave a legacy and he wants to leave impact, Nelson Nash, as well as you do and as well as I do. And I think that's really the emphasis, or really the idea of the 100-year real estate investor. That's what we want to do. We want to create impact. We want to create a legacy. The things that Rick is doing today and that Gina are doing today are going to impact not only our kids, but our grandkids as well. And I think every successful entrepreneur or business person or just individual that I've met is, number one, a responsibility junkie. And number two is really thinking about the long term. I think that's what it's all about. And I think that whole idea, and I think Whole Life is just a great encapsulation of that. And I think, Rick, the other thing you said, not every dollar has to be at risk. That's what Wall Street and that's what the government and that's what everyone's trying to tell you to do. We don't need to have every dollar at risk. We need to have some dollars in reserve. In real estate, in multifamily specifically, we call that the CapEx reserve account, so that when you got to change the roof or you got to replace a hot water heater, it's in reserves. And that's what Keating had. Keating had money in reserves. So when he needs to do his payroll, or he needs to buy a new truck, or he needs to add another employee, he can go to his CapEx reserve, AKA his Whole Life policy, borrow it while it's still compounding, pay the expense. And then when he gets his money back, he pays that back. So that's really amazing. Let me just add one thing, Rick, as far as my children, why I received I bought policies for them. And it took me a long time itself. And I said to myself, I'm buying life insurance on my kids. And that, to me, years and years ago, just didn't sit right with me. But now what I'm thinking about, I want my children to adopt that 100-year mindset as well. So I'm buying them, I'm buying them assets. I'm controlling it. I'm the beneficiary. For the next 10 years, I'm putting X amount of money in each one of their policies. And my children, I have to say, are all amazing financial stewards. They're really amazing with their money. They've invested in my real estate deals as well. So that's how confident I feel about their ability to spend money. And, you know, that instant gratification is not there with them. And for me, being able to lock in a death benefit for them, that death benefit for them, because years on, they may get some kind of illness where they're not insurable. Them to be able to see that money growing in that policy, them to be able to see the long-term effects of what it is to become a long-term investor. But at the same time, I'm the beneficiary. If they're great in 7, 8, 10 years, I could always gift it to them. If not, I can control the policy myself. So you have so much flexibility with these policies as well. I think that's really, really important. I mean, any final thoughts? We've covered a lot in this show. We've covered the benefits of Whole Life. We've covered Keating's story of my children, the story of what was holding you back from Whole Life and what made you really flip the switch as far as Wall Street you're talking about. Anything else you want to share with the listeners before we sign off?
I think there's a lot of ego involved in shutting out Whole Life insurance as an option. And I see it all the time. People think they know, but they don't. They never read Nelson Nash's book. They didn't read What Would the Rockefellers Do by Garrett Gunderson, which talks about all the benefits. And the more you're willing to allow yourself to be a learner as opposed to a knower, the more you'll realize the incredible benefits of this product. And the funny thing is, you're not out any money. You put the money in, Yes, there's a commission the first few years, but then you get back to break even and you could take the money out, all of it, every single penny of it. And, you know, in the form of a loan against it. And just like a loan against real estate, it keeps going up in value, even though you have a loan against it. So I don't know. That's my final thought. I love your energy about this and congratulations on your kids and what you've been able to do. I've heard from college professors that the absolute best college students are the homeschooled kids. Because they don't have all the bad habits that the kids that went to government prisons in the form of public schools have all the bad habits. So
Rick, great. it always helps to have a great wife, and I can't take much of the credit for it. She's been really amazing at it. So big shout out to Julia. Check her out in the Julia and Gino show. And let me reiterate what Rick said about the two books. Nelson Nash's book is amazing. I mean, Becoming Your Own Banker and the Garrett Gunderson book. Go out and read those two resources. Let not us be the bearer of this amazing news. Let, you know, we know this. We love this stuff. Get your resources from other places as well. And I'm looking forward to the 100-year education book. And for all of you out there, it's the dualassetstrategy.com. Go on there. Go visit the site. Go look at all of our resources, all of the different shows that we have on there. Book a call with a team member and start this conversation. I mean, it's a long-term process. I want you to all start thinking like the 100-year real estate investor, where you're out there, you're planting the flag today. The decisions you make today are going to affect your children and your grandchildren. So once again, Mr. Sapio, always a pleasure. DualAssetStrategy.com. Take care, everybody.
Thanks, Gina.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.